Hey, and welcome to Affiliate Dialogues. This is the place where we dive into the minds of entrepreneurs, creators, publishers, and innovative thinkers. Whether you're starting a business, exploring affiliate marketing, or wanting to take to the next level, join me as we explore digital insights and tactics, shaping the future together. Today, I'm excited to welcome Philipp Rengers, Director of Digital Marketing at The Reach Group. The Reach Group is a powerhouse in digital marketing, specializing in performance-driven strategies like display, video, audio, and digital out-of-home advertising, and of course, affiliate marketing. Philipp has been at the forefront of driving high-impact campaigns for brands, helping them navigate the evolving landscape of digital performance marketing. But before we dive into all things affiliate marketing, influencers, and CPC versus CPO, let's get to know Philipp a little bit better with the usual quick game. Hey, Philipp, how are you?
Very good. Thank you very much for having me. Yeah, I'm excited to be at my first podcast. So, yeah, it's a first for me.
I'm really glad to have you here. Let's start with the first question. As a former e-commerce mentor, do you prefer learning new strategies in affiliate marketing or more teaching others?
I think it's a combination of both. There's always learning and teaching at the same time. So, for example, from my accounts, I'm learning a lot because they're just in the market and doing that daily on a daily business and seeing new affiliates, new placements and new ways to win for our customers. And that is where I'm learning. And from the other side, I try to teach what I see based on the corporations I have with my partners and the conversations I'm having. Mm-hmm. So I think it is, a combination of both. There's not, there isn't always just one way of doing the things. So yeah, I think it's both.
Nice, nice. And also, next question is, one platform to rule them all. Instagram, TikTok, or LinkedIn?
Yeah, so I think it depends on what you're actually trying to do. But as of now, I would assume that TikTok is the strongest, especially from a performance base. And keeping in mind that the TikTok shop is launched today in the German market, which is quite exciting. I think that TikTok has a quite nice combination of inspiration and good content, and the algorithm is just top tier. So I think it is TikTok if I need to decide between all of them. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was already thinking that you're going to choose this because I think TikTok is also the best where you can get like information and like inspiration and stuff. Okay. And also, since we're going to talk about influencers today and influencer performance, if you were an influencer, would you be a tech guru or a travel vlogger?
So I love traveling for myself. Not by myself, but I did a lot of traveling before I got my little daughter and all that stuff. So I would definitely go for a vlogger and seeing the world and getting in touch with people and experience the world out of these four walls and see what the world is, what it can do for you. And traveling is just a very nice way of experience new things. And I would go for vlogging my travel experiences.
Nice. What was the latest trip you went to?
I think that was Portugal. I think it was three years ago. Just a holiday with a couple of friends. And yeah, it was quite nice to just break out the daily business and having a good time with our friends and renting a house and having a pool and some good sun. And I think that's something I can always recommend. And that was quite nice.
Nice. Now I would love to know a bit more about your background and your journey into affiliate marketing. So you're leading digital marketing efforts at The Reach Group. How did you get into affiliate marketing and what excites you the most about it? And how did you get there?
Yeah, so I was finishing my studies and I didn't really know where to go after. So I always was into marketing and TV spots and all that stuff always fascinated me as a small boy, but never knew what to do after that. And so I was interested in how marketing in general is working. I've seen that traineeship for affiliate marketing and was actually at TRG, my actual employee at the moment, but 10 years down the line, and was fascinated by the fact that you can actually track and see the performance that you see who did the sale, who was responsible, so which affiliate did the actual transaction, and that it is summing up to all the performance, and that you can sell products via the internet, and that kind of fascinated me. And I like the fact, and on top of that there was always that extra thing in it, with all the people connections, and that it is a people's business, that you're not just by yourself doing your brand as so your campaigning and all that stuff, but there's way more than that, and that you need to connect with the people behind the affiliates and the websites, and getting in touch on in different events, and getting to know the people. And I think that is where it just I stick to it, and work myself through different industries. I've been on the agency side, on a beat side as well. Moved to QVC, and had a broader view on the performance marketing, not just affiliate. So along the funnel, that was important for me as well to see what is next to affiliate marketing, which is quite a small channel, and to understand how SEA is working, and paid social media, and what about SEO and all the optimization you can do on page. And so to get a better understanding of how you can actually sell your product via the internet, and where all the different ways are to do that. And that's why I kind of stick to it.
Okay, nice. So you basically had an all-around overview from all the different perspectives in the field.
Yeah, so I started as an affiliate, so to fully understand how it is working, and added affiliate paid social to that as well. And on the third step, at QVC, I added SEO, a direct partnership with Payback, and the marketplaces, so to get a full understanding of what you're actually able to do within your performance marketing channel, and which ways you can go, and where the difference lie, and spending and all that stuff. So budget allocation and all the important stuff.
Nice. All right. Now let's talk a little bit about how the Reach Group is working with influencer marketing, or like how they combine in the affiliate world. So the Reach Group has built a strong reputation in performance marketing. And how do influencers fit into your overall affiliate marketing strategy?
Yeah, so from our point of view is that there's a growing interest of influencers going into the affiliate market, and so that we are actually building up this as another pillar of which affiliate partners we're supporting and we're working with. And so next to content and the deals and the vouchers of the industry, we're adding influencer marketing as well. And this can spread across all platforms, so Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, or Twitch, even podcasting as well. So we're understanding that as a partner management. We're starting with the goal of our customers. So what is the general goal? Where do our customer want to go? And start from there, and see which channels might fit to those goals, and the budget that is available. These are the main first steps we're doing. Looking into tracking, which is usually based on one of the affiliate networks or our private network, and going into the research phase, seeing based on the steps we decided before, which influencer might fit the campaign goals, and the budget as well. Going into the outreach phase to see who is actually interested in a cooperation with our brand, and signing the deals. So the general budget allocation, what is it based on? Is it CPC? Is it CPO? Is it a hybrid? And going into the content creation phase, bringing a briefing and saying, hey, this is what we'd like to communicate. These are the do's and don'ts, and going into launch and reporting next, and then see which insights we actually gathered through the campaign, which influencers or partners are actually successful, we'd like to work with in the future, and building up our network of influencers and see how successful the campaign was for our customers and for the influencers as well.
So brands often debate whether to work with like big name influencers or micro creators with highly engaged audience. Based on your experience, which type of influencer tends to drive better results in affiliate marketing? Because as you already said, you're always looking for the customer needs and what they want. Do you have an opinion on this?
Yeah, I think first step is to understand what our customers actually want. And usually the biggest A and top tier influencers are not working over affiliate marketing. They are represented by their management and sign really big deals, which isn't usually something our customers are doing through us as an affiliate agency. So based on that fact, it is usually the smaller or mid-tier influencers that we are working with. It is nice to see, because the engagement, as you said, the engagement rate is quite good. And as long as the product or the service and the brand match with the influencer, the results can be really good. And I think that is key. So it doesn't need to be the size of the influencer, but it needs to be the fit of brand and target group. And the budget, of course. I think the cooperation of all of these factors are the most key driving things.
Also, I want to talk with you about like CPC versus CPO influencer. Like, what works best? Because I think this is always like people have their own preferences, and also it's one of the biggest questions in the performance marketing. Like, are we gonna go with CPC, like cost per click, or with CPO, cost per order? Because some brands love CPC because it guarantees traffic, and while others prefer CPO because they only pay for the actual conversion. Which model tends to deliver the best results? What is your experience?
Yeah, so I can fully understand that CPO is the target for the brands, because they're actually paying the goal they try to reach, selling a product or a service. But that leads to the fact that the risk is taken by the influencers. They don't know if they're actually a good fit to the brand, and they do the content, and they sell the product to their community, not aware of or not sure about the actual results. So CPC is a good start to get to know each other, and that the brand and the influencers and the community behind the influencers, that we gather new information, see if that's actually a good fit. So starting with the CPC model might be the fairest and the easiest way to start, because it's quite easy to understand and straightforward. Going forward in the next step, a hybrid model of both might be interesting, because seeing the results after the first campaign, there is actually valid traffic that might convert as well. So it's actually benefiting the goals bringing something back to the influencers on top of the CPC might be a good combination to grow together. This is something that affiliate marketers do for the last 20, 25 years, growing together with the brand. And that might be something that influencers are leaning into as well, to see that they build up brand cooperation and growing together. And CPC, a hybrid model, might be a good way to do that. Yeah.
Okay, nice. So you would always say it's more fair for the influencer to start with CPC, and also it has a little bit more of advantage for you. And then if you see, or if you can have like literally feedback and see how it goes, then you would go to CPO or like to a hybrid model.
So CPC makes it easy for us as well to allocate the budget. So we get in touch with the influencers and asking for the main KPIs. So how's the engagement rate, click-through rate? And that makes it possible for us to estimate a budget allocation for each individual and sum that up in a bigger plan and bringing that transparency to our customers as well and showing them, hey, we do have 1 to 10 influencers, and based on the last campaigns, they usually generate X and Y clicks. That will cost us 15 to 20 cents per click, and that sums up to this and that. So, and it is just the easier start to get in touch with the influencers as well. As I said before, because cost per order, CPO, is always more risky for the ones doing the actual advertising. And they put the time in it. And I think that is something not everyone is wishing to do at the first step.
Okay. And how would you see, like, what are future trends or what's next for influencer and affiliate marketing? Do you have one big trend or like a few big trends in mind that brands can't afford to ignore in 2025, or also something you have, you're working on it at the moment, or how would you see is the situation at the moment and how are the trends, or like how do you see the future for this topic?
So I think that the influencer affiliate marketing industry is growing together more and more, and I think we're just at the beginning of something that might be bigger than it is right now. So affiliate marketing and all the affiliates and publishers is just a business model that is everyone aware of, but it is important that affiliate is known for influencer possibilities as well, so that these are growing together. And I think we're just at the beginning of something that might be bigger in the future. Mm-hmm. And for example, Awin has changed their application model for affiliates as well to make it easier for influencers to be onboarded on their platform. And that is just one step. Yeah. And I think other networks will follow. And that is something we need to leverage on in the next couple of months and years, and see where it brings us to.
Okay, and how do you see also might AI play a role in this? Because I think since last week, also for like Instagram and Facebook, I saw that they're like running now these tests where AI can like create all your caption. How would you see like this might be a big help, or like, are there some tools which might be scary or like useless or useful? Like, how is your opinion on this?
So first of all, I'm always quite friendly to ChatGPT whenever I write him with him, so her, whoever knows.
Yeah.
But I think it isn't scary. I think it is important to use it and see where the use cases are for yourself. So it will make our life easier in the future, as you said, content creation and writing captions and it generate inspiration to different topics. So it's always quite easy to write something down into ChatGPT and see what the results might be, even though that the results aren't always 100% good, and we're all aware of that, but it will spark an idea and it will bring some structure to what you're doing there. And in the future, I think I've seen a lot of user-generated content in combination with different tools, so that for example, to stick with the influencer topic, is that you're prompting a user-generated content, and it's hardly to see any difference in the end result. And this is all based on a prompt and a combination of different tools, and the end result is UGC, which is really good. And I think we're just at the beginning of something that is growing and developing drastically. And I think it's hard for me to see where that will take us because it is developing so fast, and it will be a big impact on our lives, but I can't see how that is in the next 6 or 12 months. And yeah, but yeah, curious to see, to be honest.
Do you also have an opinion on like AI influencers? I've just recently saw like more and more where like they're influencers who are completely AI, like not real persons. Do you think it could be helpful as well to work with them, or you think it's just weird?
Yeah, I don't like the idea, to be honest. So for me as a user, it is good to know that it is a real person I'm talking to, or following the content and seeing the reactions and what they're doing right now. So I'm not buying into that thing of AI influences. What's way more interesting is I've seen that H&M, for example, is working on projects where they do digital twins of their models and doing photo shoots and creating digital twins of their, for example, I think they started with 30 models and are using them across all platforms. I think that is a combination which I like a bit more, and not diving into all the legal stuff because I'm not an expert in that. But I think that is something I could like more because in the end, it is a real person behind that, and just using the technology and making it possible for H&M to scale their content production. But there is still that model, which is the base of everything. So that's something I could like more than the
Only,
AI influences.
that's a smart idea. Nice. Yeah, I can imagine that like these things might be really like a thing in the future, and more people are gonna rely on this. Especially, I think for like working, of course, it's so much easier to work with like real persons. That's why I think for now I can't even imagine like to have deals with like AI. Like you have, like I don't know.
Yeah, I
So,
don't trust it, to be honest. So you always need to double check with the results,
it's true.
and especially when you're an expert in your field and asking questions, you can see how the results are and can actually give your own opinion on it, and that makes it a lot easier to understand where we are right now. It is helpful, and I think it is developing really fast, but it isn't 100%, and that is where the human jumps in, and the experience we gathered over the last years. But I think AI is catching up quite fast, to be honest.
I agree. Before we wrap up, do you have three tips for brands looking to succeed with influencer affiliate marketing in 2025?
It's the tracking for me. So you need to be sure that your tracking is working and that the integration is sound and bulletproof, especially when the experience isn't there as it is, for example, with proven affiliate partners. They're used to integrate the tracking and what they have to do. So that is something that needs to be done when interested into moving to performance influencer marketing. And the next thing is long-term cooperations, especially doing your first steps. You need to gather information which influencers are a good fit for your brand, and building up your network is key, and makes it possible for us as an agency and the brand to grow on a continuously base. And so long-term cooperation and building up your own network, and new ways of winning is the last for me. TikTok Shop is, I think, kind of a big deal. It is top three in UK, for example, and number one is Amazon. So it is a growing business, and I think brands need to look into the potential of TikTok Shop, and in general, the social commerce is a growing business, and I think that might be something that we need to develop over the next years. For example, China is the biggest market in it. They do have influencer farms. They get all their gear from an employee from a brand and get set up in different rooms and selling products all day. And that is what they do 24/7. And they like tailor shopping back in the days, for example, QVC is just the same on social commerce. And I think the next step is or might be that social platforms are heavily used for selling products because it is just the way that the users are getting their content and how they use their time. So I think it's where the target groups might be in the future.
All right. Thank you very much for your insights and also for the very interesting conversation. All
Yeah,
right.
thank you very much for having me. It
Of
was a pleasure
course.
to be part of my first podcast. So yeah.
Yeah, great to have you here. Bye.
Thank you very much. Bye bye.